And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at a subject of maximum importance to you and to me and to America, indeed the whole world. I want to give a name or a title to today's message and discussion, and I cannot think of a better one than to simply call it Without Bang or Whimper. Without Bang or Whimper. I'll tell you what that means, or a little bit about it in just a moment, but I'll just leave that in your mind. I know we have a lot of very brainy, intelligent people, thoughtful men and women who listen to Power of Prophecy, and we'll let that sort of settle on your brain and in your consciousness. Without Bang or Whimper. First of all, I want to mention to you, of course, we're doing this program on the heels, not too long ago, of a horrible tragedy, an event that occurred a few weeks ago at Virginia Tech University, where a South Korean immigrant murdered 32 students and then turned his gun on himself. Many people believe that it's very possible that he was a Manchurian candidate, that perhaps he was trained to do this very task. There were some reports that he came from Shanghai, China, had his visa from Shanghai, China a year ago, although he's a senior at this university. But it appears that he was in Shanghai, China. What's a Korean doing there? I don't know. The number 33, of course, is the highest degree that you can attain in Freemasonry. The number 33 is a secret, magical, satanic number in the occult numerological system. Some say that 33 deaths may have something to do with occult numerology. But I simply want to point out the fact that here we have a foreigner, an immigrant to the United States of Asian extraction, murdering 32 Americans and then himself. Immigrants in America. Some celebrate immigrants, of course, and all of us at one time or another, you might say, our ancestors were immigrants. But today we're in a very special situation where we have been invaded with over 30 million illegal immigrants. And yet the politically correct wished that we would not even use the word illegal. They're already creating Big Brother euphemisms such as undocumented immigrants and demanding that we not call these people illegals. Well, I'm going to do exactly what I've always done. I'm going to speak the truth here at Power of Prophecy, because Jesus, the Bible says, is the Spirit of truth. He is the literal truth, and he expects us not to dodge, not to obfuscate and cloud up and haze up an issue, but to tell the truth. Today I want to talk about illegal, criminal aliens, because every one of these people are criminals. They have broken our laws. But now our president, our Congress, our leaders, in violation of our Constitution and laws, in violation of what the American people, even opinion polls have shown, want to happen, they now not only are, giving all of our taxpayer dollars and goodies and benefits to these 30 billion illegal aliens, but now their intention is to destroy America forever by merging America in with two foreign nations, Canada and Mexico. And that's just the beginning, because then they're going to merge us in with the other American nations. And we're going to be the American Union. First, we'll be the North American Union, then the American Union, and then finally, it'll all be one big mess. One gigantic new world order. New currency, new government, new rules, and a prison system that will probably end up bigger than the Soviet Union's gulag and the Nazi concentration camp system all combined. And they're building that too, and preparing it for you and for me. And they're going to take away our money, psychologically and literally our dollars, and give us something they call the Amaro currency. And they're going to take our property away. They're already using their little euphemism, privatizing all of America's assets, our forest, our national parks, our freeways and roadway systems are becoming toll roads, our waterways, our water plants, our utilities, they're all being turned over to multinational conglomerate corporations, foreigners, criminals, but they call it privatization. How can they get away with it all? And can they do it without not only not a bang, but not even a whimper from the American people? Can it be that we will end over 225 years of American freedoms and liberties without bang or whimper? Just go off softly into that deep, dark, terrifying night. That's what they expect. I want to ask you today, what do you expect, dear friend? I want to hear from each of you. I'd like you to write me a note or a letter. Tell me what you expect. Is this the end of America? End of our money? End of our sovereignty? End of our property rights? End of our Bill of Rights? Is it all over? Not too long ago, I was thinking of all of these things in my mind. And I must tell you, for some reason, I don't know why God, over the last 10 days, I've had dreams. Some people don't believe in dreams. Some say, well, it's just a reflection of what's going on in your subconscious mind. And I've read all, you know, I used to teach psychology at university, and most of it's bunk. Freud, Jung, Skinner, and all of the psychiatrists and psychologists basically were nuts. They were insane men. I was educated on all of that, but now many years ago, I've renounced it as totally ridiculous. Psychology and psychiatry. Not too long ago, I was thinking about America. And I began to think about the dreams that I'd been having. And in every dream, it was of an American police state and some kind of a concentration camp system. I believe that God sent me those dreams. He wants me to warn America of these things. Now I realize I don't have the audience of NBC, CBS, ABC. I'm not trying to be dramatic here. I'm simply saying that maybe God doesn't even want everybody warned. Maybe he only wants his people. to know. Daniel 12 verse 10 says that the wise shall understand what's happening in the last days, but the wicked will not understand. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe God says, I will tell my people. I will warn them. Jesus said, behold, I have told you before. He said in his prophecies that he told us these things so that when they happen, we can have confidence. We can say, see, he told us before. Those are dreams that I've been having. Every night, all night long, concentration camps, police state, terrible, frightening things. And I was thinking about that. My mind went back to a poem some time ago, months ago, in fact, that I had come across entitled The Hollow Men. The Hollow Men. H-O-L-L-O-W, men. It was a poem by the great British poet T.S. Eliot, written in 1925. I don't know why this poem came to my mind. I could not remember the words. And so I went to the internet and found the exact words of this poem. The internet is a very useful and wonderful tool at times. I'd like to read to you, dear friends, a few of the stanzas. It's quite a long poem. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to skip. But I'm going to give you the more poignant, and telling thoughts of Mr. Eliot back in 1925. And I wonder what was going through his mind in 1925. It was a time of great prosperity in the middle of the roaring 20s, and we too have had a time of tremendous prosperity. But soon, very soon in fact, on a Black Friday in October of 1929, if I can remember, although there were other key stock market events in 1930 and 31 and 32, it all came to, well, a screeching halt, and men began to jump out of windows and commit suicide because of all their money losses and their career expectations dashed. And the Great Depression sunk in, and everything began to change. But before that, Mr. Eliot wrote this strange and haunting poem. And it seems to me we're on the verge of losing America because 2010 is the year that the elite have set, the Illuminati, the synagogue of Satan, have set for the ending of American sovereignty. And that's only just a few years away. How can they do it so fast? Are we ready for such a thing, or are they going to get us ready? Do they have prepared a cardinal event such as a Black Friday that will propel us, catapult us, as Mr. Bush once said? We needed to catapult the propaganda. That was actually his words. To make people believe in the Iraq War. Will they catapult the propaganda to make Americans clamor to be part of this North American Union? Are we such hollow men that we will believe their propaganda? And what is a hollow man? Here's what Mr. Eliot said. He wrote, "We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men. Leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices, when we whisper together, are quiet and meaningless as wind in dry glass, or rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Shape without form. Shade without color. Paralyzed force. Gesture without motion. Those who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom remember us, if at all, not as lost violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men. This is the dead land. This is cactus land. Here the stone images are raised. Here they receive the supplication of a dead man's hand under the twinkle of a fading star. The eyes are not here. There are no eyes here in this valley of dying stars, in this hollow valley, this broken jaw of our lost kingdoms. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but a whimper. Very deep words indeed. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. But I want to propose to you today, there is not even a whimper to be heard from Americans as their world summarily ends. Not so much as a whimper or a moan of protest is echoed throughout this land. And yet there has been prophecies for decades warning people of these things. It seems that H.G. Wells is correct. He wrote the book, The Open Conspiracy, way over a century ago, telling us that in the last days with the New World Order on the horizon, it appears that there's no organized opposition against it. None. No bangs. Not even a whimper. We should have known. Of course, I have a copy right here, and we've sold many in this ministry. I have the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, or just the Protocols of Zion, a whole book here, telling us these things were going to occur. I read this again this very week, and as I read over 200 pages in this book, The Protocols of Zion, I saw where the synagogue of Satan had prepared for this very day. And this Protocols of Zion book that was published way back in the turn of the century as we moved into the 20th century, even a couple of decades before Mr. Eliot wrote his poem, The Hollow Men, you could read this book, The Protocols of Zion, and see that they were going to do these things to us. They had their plan. They had their protocols all set up. They are the one nation, the Jewish nation. They are the synagogue of Satan, the book of Revelation tells us. Scattered amongst the nation, but always remaining, but always remaining immutably Jews. Their nationality is Jew, and they recognize no other nationality, and it is at their insistence that all nationalities must disappear. All borders must disappear. All races must go by the wayside except theirs. If they are to achieve a new world order, a global plantation, if theirs is to be a planetary dominion, they must have no opposition. There can be no other nation. Every border must be erased. And then within the 6, 7, 8, whatever billion number of people there are on this planet, all of the multicultural races all mixed, no ethnic groups really of note, no nationality, no distinction, so much bland, colorless porridge everywhere. From that amorphous, formless nothingness will rise the Jews. They alone will have remained of their race, for they punish those amongst them who marry outside their race. They demand their own nation, apartheid, and they kill Palestinians, Arabs, and others of other races, or discriminate in horrible ways against them and push them, even build walls to keep them out. We will be Jews. You cannot vote. You cannot argue against us. We will have our Jewish nation. And we will allow you little voice, if any, they tell the rest of the world. And if you're a Christian, you cannot even immigrate here, even if you're a Jew. Being a Christian makes you an idolater and worthy only of having your head cut off, say the Noahide laws in the Jewish Talmud. At the same time, they demand that all the people's guns be taken away. They deserve the right to have guns. And the Jews do in Israel. At the same time, they tell you you deserve not to have a nation, that there should be no nations. They will all be erased at all the borders. They demand to have a nation. And at the same time, they demand world citizenship. They are dispersed through all the nations of the earth, and they say it is only right, for we are masters of the whole planet. Yet we will have our nation, and we will remain separate while retaining world citizenship. For we are dual citizens. We are globalists, and yet we are Jews. We're citizens of the Jewish state, but we also control, and we are living and residing in the United States and Canada and Mexico and Brazil and Japan and Singapore and Shanghai and Tokyo and Lagos, Nigeria and Cairo, Egypt. And all of these countries we control. Borderless now, as they shall be. And we shall have possession of all the riches, all the property. And no men of other races shall have property. It's all there in the protocols of Zion. Their intention to control the gold, their intention to control banking, their intention to seize and control all the media, and they do. And they have for decades. All the mechanism of culture they control. And now, to continue their revolution, they must get rid of all the borders. They must close down the world and start over again. They even have a word for it. It's called tikkun. T-I-K-K-U-N. Ask a Jew about the word tikkun. Tell them to look it up in their Hebrew dictionary. It means to revise the world, to change the world, to revolutionize the world, to make everything new. We are the hollow men. For what I have told you, my friends, is considered illegal to the Jews that run America. It is considered anti-Semitic. And some say it is only a few Jews that are responsible. Really? Some say it is only a few Americans that are responsible for what happens in Iraq today, with all of the Iraqi people suffering so much misery from American armaments and bombs and military brutality. But ask an Iraqi to distinguish Americans. How can he? How can an Iraqi who has had family members murdered by American servicemen, who has had limbs blown off, say, it's not all Americans, it's just a few? As they were taking you away to concentration camp, it was nice for you to be so generous and grande as to say, oh, it's not all the Germans that are doing it, it's only a few. Well, dear friends, a Jew is a Jew. And I'm afraid that the Jewish nation as a whole is responsible. If there is a Jew out there that hates what has happened to their nation, then I applaud them. Then by choice, you need to divorce yourself from your nation. I have divorced myself from what Americans are doing in Iraq, because these men are monsters. And they have deceived, propagandized, and controlled the minds of those young men in uniform. In one sense, my friend, all of the men and women in uniform today are Manchurian candidates. I've seen them. I was in the Air Force for 20 years, and I saw what the military could do to people and what they did do in controlling men's minds. And they always do in wars. I agree with Marine General Smedley Butler, who wrote a book many decades ago in which he said, and the title of his book is simply, War is a Racket. War is a racket. I'm now convinced that World War I, World War II, and our current war, World War III, let's just say, are all based on greed by Jews. Am I anti-Semitic? You decide. I simply tell you the truth. You give me labels for what I am, and that's up to you. I don't deny anything. I simply say, truth is truth. In World War I, we became involved in that war to ensure that the Jews might have a homeland, and they got the Balfour Agreement. In World War II, the same thing, and they did get their homeland. In World War I, by the way, they did away with their major enemy at the time, the Tsar of Russia. In World War II, they did away with their Haman, their major enemy, Adolf Hitler, and got their independent nation of Israel. In World War III, I believe their goal is to create a Zionist empire of the whole world, emanating from the Mideast, but encompassing this entire globe. And they're doing it without bang or whimper. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. Again, this is Tex Mars. You know, I'm very proud to be the publisher of the astounding new book by the Englishman Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. It's entitled The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. The Synagogue of Satan. Jesus himself in the book of Revelation warns us of the synagogue of Satan that will come to its fullest in the last days and will bring upon the whole world an hour of temptation. Most people will give in. They will become part of the synagogue of Satan and its global system of consummate evil. Will you give in? Will you become a participant in the synagogue of Satan and its plot to rule this world? Or will you do as Jesus instructed us? He said, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. It's hard to do because she, that is the synagogue of Satan, controls the United States of America. She, the synagogue of Satan, controls the European Union and has a foothold in Asia as well. How can we come out of something that is now within our midst? It is all around us, enveloping us. And yet Jesus says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers in her evil. For everyone that takes the name or the mark or the number of the beast, which is, I believe, the synagogue of Satan, shall go into damnation with her. Now, friends, this is a serious subject. This is a life-wrenching topic, and you must be aware. And Mr. Hitchcock, in 320 pages, reveals the secret history of the synagogue of Satan and its control over humanity since the year 800. All the way back in history, you'll find out about this secret diabolical control. It continues today. Would you like to know who really perpetrated the 9/11 disaster in New York City at the World Trade Centers and at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C.? This book is the first to truly reveal the facts. Would you like to know who controls even the banking system of the papacy? Of the Vatican and its gold? This is the first. Would you like to know who are the men who meet every business day at a certain time in a bank building in the city of London and set the price for gold that day? And that price is the price of gold that is paid in transactions in over 100 world capitals? This book will tell you about that. An amazing book. How did we truly get our Federal Reserve? Who chose Woodrow Wilson to be our president? Who chose Franklin Roosevelt? Who was the man who secretly had an office in the White House and told FDR what to do? Who was the man who had an office in the White House and gave Mr. Woodrow Wilson instructions every day? Who is it who, in a phone call to Billy Graham, told evangelist Billy Graham what to do every day of his life? That's right. You'll find out the truth of these things in the synagogue of Satan. To get your copy of Synagogue of Satan, simply phone us toll free 1-800-234-9673, or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And by the way, Mr. Hitchcock didn't make up that name, the Synagogue of Satan. I didn't create the name. Jesus did. If you don't like the name, if you think it's an anti-Semitic name, I suggest you get on your knees and complain to Jesus about it. But be very wary when you're doing so. Because it is an audacious thing to attempt to question God. My best advice to you is to shut your mouth and believe in what God says. And if you do, you'll believe Revelation 2, verse 9. You'll believe Revelation 3, verse 10, in which Jesus warns us of the synagogue of Satan and says, these are those who blaspheme and hate Christianity so much that they cast many Christians into prison and kill many others. Liars, blasphemers, murderers, deceivers. Who said that? Adolf Hitler? No. Jesus Christ. Believe him or you will die. Now, how's that for a bold statement? You know, friends, I'm tired of just pussyfooting around, as they call it down here in Central Texas in cowboy land. I'm tired of beating around the bush. This is it, friends. We're in the big one. We're in the war. This is a spiritual war. I'm not going to take out any guns. I'm not going to be some South Korean that kills 32 unarmed students. Let the death-dealing enemy do those things. I'm talking about using weapons of truth. I'm talking about educating people. I'm talking about telling people, seriously, this is what the Bible says. If you don't like it, you've got a problem with God. So shut up and get out of my face. You're in big trouble, boy. People are going to be calling Tex Mars a fanatic, a nut. I am a fanatic. I've always been a fanatic for truth. I've always had a passion for truth. Things haven't changed at all. I haven't changed since I was just a young boy. I haven't. The world's changed. I haven't changed at all. Well, I've gotten gray hair. I've gotten a few pounds, more than a few, to tell the truth, more than I used to have. But in my heart and in my mind, I still have a passion for truth. And that's what I'm talking to you today. I'm not giving you the fancy words and melodious molasses tongue, a language of a Rick Warren or whatever. I'm simply telling you this is the truth. We're in it, friends. We're opposed to the synagogue of Satan. We're going to fight them all the way. They've got everything. They've got tanks and armaments and jets and the IRS and the FBI and the Homeland Security and all and Big Brother watching you and all those things. I don't care what they have. I've got one thing and it's called the truth. And that's why we offer the synagogue of Satan. What bold crazies we are to offer such a book. People are amazed. You got to be kidding me. A book entitled The Synagogue of Satan? How dare you, Tex Mars? Well, we do dare. There's already a book discussing the synagogue of Satan. It's called The Holy Bible. Jesus dared too. You say, well, yes. Look what happened to him. He got crucified. Would you believe, friends, it's been, what, about a decade ago, Sandra, that we had an IRS audit here in this ministry? It's been a decade ago. The IRS came down and demanded to see all of our financial records, and then they wanted copies of all my audio tapes and videos and all my books and all my newsletters. Oh, they were here to try to shut us down. I told the IRS, the high-level agent that they had sent to do the dirty work, what the Bible had to say about what we were doing. I mentioned the name of Jesus, and the IRS agent looked me in the face, sitting right here across from the desk I'm talking to you at now, and he said, but wasn't Jesus crucified for that? Can you imagine the IRS telling you, well, yeah, you're doing certain things, Mr. Mars. And you say your role model is Jesus Christ, but wasn't he crucified? What a threat that was. I looked at him square in the face and I smiled and I said, yes, but he rose from the dead. I believe that pretty well put an end to that conversation. Although I'd have to bring back my CPA, who was here in the room with me at the time. But I believe that pretty well ended that conversation. Jesus told us something very vital in the New Testament. He said, fear not he who can kill the body. Don't have any fear of some man who can hurt your body or kill your body. Don't fear such a person, Jesus said. Instead, Jesus said, fear him who can kill the body and then condemn your soul to hell. That's who you better fear. And that's my operating principle, dear friend. I don't fear the devil and his men here on earth or his demonic agents, I call them. I only fear God. It's only God who can take my soul and consign it to hell forever. It's only God. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. I like the book of Ecclesiastes. After debating a lot of things about wine, women, song, good things that can happen to you, bad things that can happen to you, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, well, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. That's it. Some people say, well, is your religion a fear-based religion? You better believe it. I don't fear Michael Chertoff. I don't fear Mr. Stalin number 2, George W. Bush. I don't fear Mr. Putin, or I don't fear anyone, but I do fear God. And you know, fear is a strange thing. Because when you love somebody, your fear goes away. It's a strange paradox. I love God, therefore my fear has subsided entirely. Why? Because I have confidence in Him. He who loved me first. Fear is a strange thing. The more you fear God, the more you love God, and it just seems like the fear subsides. It may still be there because you have given respect. Fearing God is basically respecting Him, admiring Him, worshiping Him. Now let's get back to this thing about with bang or whimper. I don't have much time left in this program, and I really want to talk to you about it. My good friend Larry Patterson in Criminal Politics warned us. He said, what we are now developing in America is a new large underclass, and there may well be in America a revolution comparable to 1917's revolution in Russia. By who? By illegal aliens. They're already demonstrating on our streets, demanding more and more benefits and more rights as illegal criminals. Illegal aliens are already hitting the streets. They're here now. 30 million of them, according to Bear Stearns, and more are coming. And they're being agitated and organized for revolution. And the Council on Foreign Relations has brought into its membership La Raza and MALDEF, the Mexican-American Legal Defense Foundation. These are radical, in my opinion, pro-communist socialist organizations. La Raza recently even was given a $15 million grant to create a school in Los Angeles. I believe it's to train young Mexican boys and girls to become tyrannical revolutionary killers. It's my opinion. Now, La Raza, of course, will say, no. We're just teaching them pride in their race and all that baloney. Sure they are. The Zionist movement is being copied and adopted by Mexicans. Don't think for a moment that Mexican Jews aren't behind this. It's an amazing thing. I have some evidence that Vicente Fox was a Jew. You say, wow, I didn't know there were Mexican Jews. Well, of course there were. Many of the Spanish Jews immigrated to Mexico. And they have always been the upper class. Who do you think runs Pemex? Petroleum Corporation of Mexico. Do you think it's the peons? Do you think it's the Chiapas tribesmen? Do you think it's the ancient Mayans and Aztecs? No! It's the Spanish Jews who immigrated to Mexico. They are the ruling class in Mexico. Why do you think they have peasant revolutions there all the time? This has been on its way and coming for a long, long time, this Zionist cabal that's determined to crush the United States that my good friend Larry Patterson is talking about. Then there's Dr. Jerome Corsi. He was a prominent member in the Reagan administration, and now he is beginning to tell the truth. And boy, how the elite hate this guy, Jerome, Dr. Jerome Corsi. He asked recently in a Human Events online article, and by the way, that's an amazing thing because Human Events is one of the neocon journals, so how this got in, I don't know. Every once in a while, something good comes out of one of those organs. But Dr. Corsi asked, quote, why doesn't President Bush tell us the truth? His secret agenda is to dissolve the United States of America. The administration has no intent to secure the border or to enforce rigorously existing immigration laws. Of course, he goes on to say, if a fence is going to be built on our border with Mexico, Americans, individuals like the Minutemen are going to have to build the fence themselves. Of course, that's true. They're not going to build a fence up to keep the Mexicans from us because according to the Council on Foreign Relations pressure, their plan is, the North American Union plan, is to erase the border with Mexico. That's why when border patrol guards now try to stop the Mexicans coming in, they end up going to prison. Bush is putting them in prison for trying to do their job. Then, of course, there's this money situation. I told you about the coming Amaro. Recently reading my good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy, he wrote a book, Now is the Dawning of the New Age, New World Order, some years ago. Let me read to you what he said on pages 280, 281 of that book. And by the way, we don't have this book available. I wish I did. I'm going to talk to Dr. Cuddy about the possibility of him reprinting this book because it's a tremendous book. He writes, quote, The Economist, in his January 9th, 1988 issue, wrote that in part, to avoid the collapse of the dollar in the future, quote, pencil in the phoenix for around 2018 and welcome it when it comes. The phoenix will be the name for the new international monetary unit. The Economist continued, quote, national economic boundaries are slowly dissolving. As the trend continues, the appeal of a currency union across at least the main industrial countries will seem irresistible. There would be no such thing as a national monetary policy. The world phoenix supply would be fixed by a new central bank, descended perhaps from the International Monetary Fund. This means a big loss of economic sovereignty. Wow. My good friend Dr. Cuddy talks about the origins of the phoenix bird, the legend of the phoenix bird. He says the Egyptians closely associated the phoenix bird with a Horus, hawk. Horus, of course, is associated with the all-seeing eye on the top of the pyramid on the reverse side of the American dollar bill. The Egyptians and Phoenicians, writes Dr. Cuddy, believed the phoenix bird to be representative of a god who rose to heaven in the form of a morning star like Lucifer after his fire immolation of death and rebirth. Lucifer revived out of the ashes, out of the fire. He flies into the heavens. Isn't that a little bit about like the beast who had one of his heads wounded, but came back to life? He was thought to be dead, but he wasn't. Lucifer says, I suppose the reports of my death are grossly exaggerated. I'm alive. I've risen up out of the fire. Even the money of the world tells you I am here. For now, instead of the dollar, the mark, the euro, the amaro, you use the phoenix. You see, the amaro is just a halfway house to get us to the phoenix, which is a symbol of Lucifer himself on our dollar bill. And thus we see the power of the gospel and of the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all evil. But there's more than just the amaro to come, of course. That's only the beginning. The money is the beginning. But there's more. For example, I recently received, because we supposedly own a business, that's what power of prophecy basically is, according to the IRS and such, a business. We received a letter here from the North America Super Corridor Coalition, Inc. in Dallas, Texas. They wanted me to know about all the wonderful things that are going to come my way as a businessman from the North American Super Corridor. They've even started this group called NASCO, the North American Super Corridor Coalition, NASCO. They say NASCO is a trinational, nonprofit, trade and transportation coalition committed to maximizing the efficient and secure movement of goods along the network of transportation systems running north-south through the central U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Oh, yes. NASCO. And now, Bush recently ruled that Mexican trucks don't need to be inspected in America. And with this North American super corridor being built 4 football fields wide, they'll have a little computer tag on their windshields or somewhere on the vehicle, and they won't even have to stop to be searched. In fact, many of them won't have to stop till they get to Kansas City, and they're going to take part of Kansas City, Missouri, and make it the territory of Mexico. But that'll only be temporary, because there won't be any more Mexico. There will only be North America. And don't complain, and don't even file a lawsuit, because they'll probably put you in a court with a Mexican judge. And Mr. Hernandez or Gutierrez will probably end up putting you in prison for contempt of court when you complain. But this super corridor through Texas, at least this part of it, is not even going to be owned by Texans. They have privatized our lands, and they're turning over thousands of acres to a Spanish corporation from Spain named Cintra. One of the big shareholders in that is King Juan Carlos, who calls himself the Prince of Jerusalem. Boy, the connections just get deeper, and we just go into it like quicksand. I got a letter from our bank. One of the biggest banks here in Texas is called Compass Banks. C-O-M-P-A-S-S. And they said, Mr. Mars, you'll be pleased to know that our bank has been bought up by a bank from Spain that has assets of $520 billion and has 4,500 banking branches throughout the world, throughout Europe, throughout the United States, throughout South America and Mexico. And now Compass Bank will become part of the Banco Vizcaya system of Spain. The Spaniards are coming. They will own the super corridor, toll roads. Many Texans were upset. Many Texans, of course, are very patriotic. They're both patriotic Texans and patriotic Americans. They began to complain. All the farmers and the ranchers and the people of the little towns all strung up left side and right side of this corridor all the way up from Mexico through the state of Texas. They began to complain in the letters of the editor to all their little newspapers. But guess what? They don't complain anymore. Because they don't print their letters anymore. Because all of the newspapers throughout the whole state of Texas along the way of the corridor were bought up for tens of millions of dollars by the Centra multinational corporation. Every newspaper, every weekly, every little magazine, every shopper's guide publication from Laredo, Texas to El Paso, all the way up to Lubbock, Texas through Dallas, have been bought up. They are now owned by the Spanish corporation, Centra. That's one way to get rid of your editorial opposition. That's one way to get rid of the media. Just buy them up. I wonder where they learned that. It might have something to do with the book, The Protocols of Zion. On pages 151, 163, 167, it says, we shall buy up and control all of the press. And it will print only what we want it to print. And now the Prince of Jerusalem, King Juan Carlos, who some believe could become the Antichrist, and his Centra Corporation of Spain has not only bought up our highways, but has bought up all the media that might oppose it. Even the smallest little bitty newspapers in the smallest burgs, villages, and towns. No more letters to the editor. No more local stories. Well, there will be. Open up your local newspaper in Taylor, Texas. In Corpus Christi, Texas. In Mejia, Texas. In Jefferson, Texas. And read all the glowing accounts of all the benefits of the super corridor. A new history is being written. That's why we put out the Synagogue of Satan book. It is the true secret history. Because history, as Henry Ford, who by the way wrote a book called The International Jew. Mr. Ford knew about this. And he was asked about history and he said, quote, history is bunk. Winston Churchill once was asked what history would say of him. He said, history will be kind to me, for I intend to write it. He was a member of the ruling elite. George Santayana was a poet who wrote, history is a pack of lies about events that never happened, told by people who were not there. What will they say about the history of the North American Union? Will they say the people of America wanted it? The people of the United States demanded that they be given the North American Union? They were so tired and exhausted of the old United States of America, with its constitution and its unworkable laws. They demanded it. They wanted it. We gave them what they wanted. And it all came about without bang or whimper. This is Tex Mars, dear friends. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy. Thank you.